Today's daf is Bava Basra, daf Kuf Chaf Aleph. Kuf Chaf Aleph, we left off, and daf Kuf Chaf Amin Beis. We are about 4 lines from the bottom of the page. The Gemara had mentioned yesterday a Gzer Shava Zeh that connected two parshios. It connected the parsha of Nedarim with the parsha of, what was it? We had the parsha of Nedarim connected with the parsha of Shchutei Chutz, right? So the Gemara said, what do we learn from that connection between the parsha of Nedarim and the parsha of Shchutei Chutz? So we said that Mala Halan Aron Ubanav V'Kol Yisrael Afkan Aron Ubanav V'Kol Yisrael, that just like when it comes to the parsha of Shchutei Chutz, the Isra is on anybody, so too when it comes to Ataras Nedarim, you don't need a Bezin of Mumchin, you can have anybody. Anybody can do the Hataras Nedarim. And the Gemara had said, and the Limud in the other direction is, just like it says, Rashi Amatos, Be'ataras Nedarim, and we know there's a concept of the Yachid Mumche, so too by Shchutei Chutz, there's a concept of Rashi Amatos. What does that mean? That's to tell me that there's a concept of She'ela Behegdish, that even though a person makes something Hegdish, he can undo that if there was some sort of mistake. There's a concept, just like there's a concept of Ataras Nedarim, there's a concept of She'ela Behegdish. So the Gemara had said, but Beis Shammai doesn't hold of She'ela Behegdish. So if Beis Shammai doesn't hold of She'ela Behegdish, he must not hold of this entire Zezeh, this entire Gzeir Shava of Zezeh, because ain't Gzeir Shava Lemechza. So if Beis Shammai doesn't hold of She'ela Behegdish, he doesn't hold of any of the things that we learn from the Gzeir Shava of Zezeh. So that's where we are right now. 4 lines from the bottom of the page, Kuf Chaf Amid Beis, Ula Beis Shammai, the last Gzeir Shava, Hafaris Nedarim B'Shloshe Adyatos Min Aluhu. So if Beis Shammai doesn't hold of the Gzeir Shava, so fine, he doesn't hold of the concept of She'ela Behegdish. But what about the other halacha we learned from the Gezer Shava? That you could do hafaras nedarim, and the Rashbam points out, we don't really mean hafaras nedarim over here, we mean hataras nedarim. Hafaras nedarim is a different bria entirely. Hafaras nedarim is something that's done by the husband on the day that he hears about the neder. If he doesn't do it on the day he hears about the neder, it's too late. And the husband doesn't require a reason to do hafaras nedarim. No man wants his wife to be a nadranis. It's considered one of the greatest mumin a woman could have is that she's a nadranis. And the reason that it's considered such a terrible thing if she takes a lot of nedarim is Gemara Nedarim tells us, Bavon nedarim banim mesim k'shem k'tanim, that as a result of nedarim, children die at a young age, and in general, whenever a woman is considered to be ruining the marriage, she loses her ksuba, and it's a terrible thing. The husband has the right to divorce her without paying her ksuba. What greater way to ruin the marriage than to cause her children to die at a very young age? She's ruining the whole family. So, ba'avon nedarim, it's a terrible thing. A man can always be made for his wife's neder on the day that he hears about it. He doesn't even need a reason. He just doesn't want her taking nedarim, so he can undo her nedarim. But when it comes to Hataras Nedarim, there's no time limit on when the Neder can be Hutar, but you need a reason. It needs to go in front of Bezin, and Bezin needs to find some sort of Pesach for the Neder. And they do a proper Hataras Nedarim. Everyone seems to agree that there is such a concept of Hataras Nedarim. But if it's derived from this Gzeir Shava of Zezeh from Shchutei Chutz, and Beis Shammai doesn't hold of the Gzeir Shava of Zezeh, where does Beis Shammai know the concept of Ataras Nedarim? That's the Gemara's Kasha. So according to Beis Shammai, it doesn't hold of Zezeh, how do they know Ataras Nedarim? For that can be done with 3 Hediotos. So answers the Gemara, Nafkalu Humi Detanya. We learn it from the following Braisa. Vayidaber Moshe Smoadei Hashem El Bnei Yisrael. Rabbi Yossi Aglili Omer, Rabbi Yossi Aglili interprets the Pasuk, Moadei Hashem Ne'emru, Shabbos Bereishis Lo Ne'emra. That what was said over at that time, the Moadei Hashem, but not Shabbos Bereishis. We'll see soon what this means. Right now, we're not supposed to have any clue how this answers our question. It seems to be something that's unclear entirely, and the Gemara is going to clarify soon. Ben Azay Omer, Moadei Hashem Ne'emru, Hafaras Nedarim Lo Ne'emra. That yes, Moadei Hashem were said over, but not Hafaras Nedarim. Rabbi Yossi bar Nasan gamar lo lahamas nisa v'lo yadu le'lefrosha. So we're not alone. Rabbi Yossi bar Nasan learned this this brisa, and he had no idea what it meant. He didn't know how to explain it. What do you mean? Moadei Hashem as opposed to Shabbos Bereishis, Moadei Hashem as opposed to Hafaras Nedarim. What halacha are you teaching me? He didn't know what it was talking about. So azul basreid Rav Sheshes Narda v'lo ashkechei. He went to Rav Sheshes in Narda to have it explained to him, and he didn't find Rav Sheshes Narda. He couldn't find him to explain it to him. Okay, so he had to keep on trying. He wasn't going to give up. Azul Basrei L'machuza, Ashkechei. So he chased him down to Machuza, and that's where he found him. And he said, look, I need an explanation. Samarlei, my Moadei Hashem, Nemru, Shabbos Bereshis, Lo Nemra. What does it mean, Moadei Hashem or Nemru, but Shabbos Bereshis is Lo Nemra? What's the exclusion of Shabbos Bereshis? Samarlei, he said to him, Moadei Hashem Tzrichin Kiddush Beizdin. Shabbos Bereshis Einat Tzricha Kiddush Beizdin. It's teaching us a halacha that to make Yomim Tovim, you need Beis Din to play a critical role. Beis Din has to determine when the Yomim Tovim are going to be. Shabbos Bereishis, when it comes to making Shabbos, it doesn't require Kiddush Beis Din. Shabbos is Shabbos. Every seventh day is going to be Shabbos. Beis Din, here or not here, Shabbos is always going to be Shabbos. But the Yom Tovim are Tali and Beis Din. So first Rashbam clarifies, Yom Tovim themselves are not really Tali and Beis Din. It's the calendar that's Tali and Beis Din. And once the Rosh Chodesh is set by Beis Din, Memela, we know when the Yom Tovim are going to be. But since there is a direct link, obviously, between, let's say, setting Rosh Chodesh and figuring out when Pesach is going to be, because Pesach is always going to be on the same date of the month, right? It's always going to be on the 15th day of Nisan, so depending on when Rosh Chodesh Nisan is going to be, that's when Pesach is going to be. So that's considered to be in the hands of Beis. That's the Tap Rashba Modeh Hashem Tzrichim Kiddush Shoy Mekadshin Es HaChodesh Al Piyari Iya Umitoch Kach Miskadish Moed Bizmano. And based on the Chodesh being Mekudesh Al Piyari Iya, they're Mekadish the Moed in the right time, Shelfi Ibur Hashanah V'Ibur Hachadash V'Moadim Misakfin, because based on how they would set up the calendar, based on how they would set up, they would extend a month or extend a year, it would have obviously a profound effect on when the Yom Tovim will be. Aval Moad Matzman Loi Mechachin. Excuse me. But the Moadim themselves, they were not Mechadish. They were only Mekadesh the months, not the actual Moadim. The other issue that bothers the Rashbam over here is we call this Shabbos Bereishis. Why don't we just call it Shabbos? Everyone, right, most normal people refer to Shabbos as Shabbos, but you have to call it Shabbos Bereishis. It's an unusual term. So the Rashbam points out about 10-15 lines down in the medium, in the skinny lines, Shabbos Bereishis Kari LeShabbos Mishum Dekol Moados Nami Ksiv Behu Shabbos Shabbason. Every Moed it says Shabbos by. Shabbos just means a day of Isra Malacha, and every Moed is a day of Isra Malacha. So since by every single Moed it calls it a Shabbos, in biblical speak, the only way to differentiate is by referring to this Shabbos, to what we call Shabbos, as Shabbos Bereishis, because every Yantav is called Shabbos. Hilkach Kari Le Shabbos Bereishis Shemekudeshes Uva'a Misheshes Mebereishis. What's the defining characteristic of Shabbos as opposed to Yantav? It's exactly what the Gemara is saying right now, that Shabbos is predetermined, it's preset. From when? Since the Sheshes Mebereishis. And therefore the most appropriate title for what we call Shabbos is Shabbos Bereishis. The B'Shabbos Rishon K'siv Bo V'Yichu V'Yikadish Oso. Right? By the very first Shabbos, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was ready Mekadish in a Shabbos. It wasn't even in Har Sinai. It was ready at the Bria Sa'olam. And therefore, that has been in place since then. So we refer to it as Shabbos Bereishis. Now if you look at the top Tosfos, Shabbos Bereishis, Eim Etzrich HaKiddush Beis, and Frek Tosfos Im Tomar, Dibisov Perakamba de Kiddush and Nafkalan Midichsiv, Moshvo Sechem, Damrin Hasa, Mosh Shavos, the Kas of Rachmana Gabe Shabbos, Lamali, Itzterich, Salkadai de Kamina Hol, Binyana de Mados, Ksivatibai Kiddush Beis and Kamados, Kamash Malan. Right? The Gemara in Kiddush uses a totally different pasuk to derive the idea that Shabbos does not require Kiddush Beis. So Frek Tosfos, why are we using the pasuk of Moadei Hashem, that yes, Moadei Hashem Nemru, Shabbos Bereishis Lo Nemra, the Gemara in Kiddushin learns it from Moshe Vaseichem. So which is it? So says Tosfos, Yishlomar, Drasha Dehasam Asya Keben Azai, Didarish Hacha, Moadei Hashem Nemra, Farsin Darm Lo Nemar. Right? We have two opinions of what Moadei Hashem is coming to exclude over here. The first shita is that Moadei Hashem is coming to exclude Shabbos Bereishis. Fine. But there's a second shita. There's the shita of Ben Azai, that Mordei Hashem over here is not coming to teach me about Shabbos Bereishis. Over here, Mordei Hashem is coming to teach me something about Afaras Nedarim. We didn't see what yet, but something about Afaras Nedarim. If you assume like Ben Azai that it's coming to teach me something about Afaras Nedarim, so then we still need a source for the idea that Shabbos Bereishis is Mekudosh Ve'Omed from Sheshes Yimei Bereishis. So that's what the Gemara in Kiddushin is referring to. It's going to Lefi, the shita of Ben Azai. Inami says Tosfos, I feel the Rabbi Yossi Aglili Tzrichin Treikrai. Maybe we're even going like the first day over here, like the sheet of Rabbi Yossi Aglili, who does derive Shabbos Bereishis from Moadei Hashem, but still you need two psukim. The ilok kasiv elachad lav mematinon elamumchin kasav krachrin lemute afilu adiotos. Had I only had one pasuk, I would have said yes. In order to be Mekadesh Shabbos, you don't need a Beis Din HaGadol in Yerushalayim, you don't need a major Beis Din of Mumchin, but you need to put together a Beis Din, like for Ataras Nadarim, you need to put together a Beis Din of three guys to be Mekadesh Shabbos. In order for me to make Shabbos this week, I would have thought, it's not like Yontif, or Rosh Chodesh, where you need a real Beis Din, but I got to get three guys together to say, okay, Mekudosh, Mekudosh, it's Shabbos. So Kamash Blan, the second pasuk, that comes and tells me, you don't need any Beis Din whatsoever. That Shabbos is Shabbos. It's going to be that way whether any human being has any input whatsoever. Shabbos is always going to be holy. Okay, says the Gemara Vayter. So Salka Daita Chamina Hol V'Ksiv Gav. Yeah, we just did it. My Moadei Hashem Nemru Hafaras Nedarim Lo Nemra. Right back in the Gemara, what is the drasha that Ben Azai is making? That Moadei Hashem comes to tell me that Moadei Hashem, but not Hafaras Nedarim. What does that mean? So answers the Gemara, Moadei Hashem Tzrichin Mumchin, Hafaras Nedarim Ein Tzrichin Mumchin. It's coming to tell me that Moadei Hashem require Mumchin, Hafaras Nedarim does not require mumchin, right? That's the difference between Moadei Hashem, between establishing the calendar and Afaras Nedarim, right? So you see from there, meaning again, what was the whole point of bringing this whole drasha? We wanted to know that according to the Beis Shammai, who doesn't hold of the Gzeirah Shavah Zeh, how do they know that you could do Ataras Nedarim with three regular guys, that you don't need mumchin? So here you have it. They hold of Ben Azai's drasha, that Moadei Hashem requires mumchin, Afaras Nedarim does not require mumchin. I v'harashe amatos ksiv, but it says by Afaras Nedarim that you need rashe amatos, which implies that you need special people, you need mumchin. Amrav chisam rabbi yochanan biyachin mumcha. If you don't want to use three people, you're only going to use a single individual, then yes, then you need mumchin. But if you're going to use three people, right, if you're only going to use a single individual, so then yes, a yachin mumcha is required for that Ataras Nedarim. But if you're going to use three people, then it's not necessary to have mumchin. If you look at the Rashbam, Moadei Hashem tzrichin mumchin v'lo mekatshi b'gimel adyotos kafaras nedarim v'lo b'yachin mumcha kafaras nedarim el b'shlosha mumchin. We know that the Moadei Hashem require three mumchin in order to be mekadish l'chadashim k'dialfin b'rash shana ein l'cha mumcha b'yisrael yoser mimosh rabbeinu. How do we know this? Because the Gemara Rosh Hashanah says, points out, there's no greater mumcha in Klal Yisrael than Moshe Rabbeinu. V'kamer le'rachmana, adi ika Aaron b'hadach. And nevertheless, he couldn't do it alone. He needed Aaron together with him. D'chsiv ha'yom Hashem el Moshe, ve'el Aaron, ha'chodesh ha'zelechem. Kachem mumchin, right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Moshe and to Aaron, HaChodesh HaZalachem. You know when you're going to be able to make a Rosh Chodesh? When you have people like you, right? More than one person. And so it can't be two, because Ein Beis Din Shakel, Mosif Nalei Norecha. That teaches me that you must need three people, you need three mumchin, in order to be Mekadesh Chodashim. That's true in terms of Moadei Hashem. But obviously in terms of Ataras Nedarim, it's not necessary to have so many people. Good, that's the limud from Moadei Hashem. Says the Gemara Vayter. Tanan Hasa. Amram Shimon Gamliel. Lo hayu yamim tovim liYisrael k'chamisha asur ba'av u'kiyom haKippurim. There were no days in the Jewish calendar that are quite as happy and as celebratory as chamisha asur ba'av, tu ba'av, and Yom haKippurim. Those are the happiest days we have. Shabahen benos Yerushalayim yotzos b'klei lavan sh'ulin, and on those days, the Benos Yerushalayim would go out in borrowed white clothing. And the reason they would borrow is not to embarrass someone who didn't have, right? Rashbam points out from the Gemara in Tainis that even someone who was very wealthy would borrow their white dress, even a girl who was very wealthy would borrow a white dress for Yom Kippur and Tu B'Av, and the reason they would do that is not to be mevayish someone who didn't have it and really had to borrow. So they would have the Benos Melachim would borrow from the Bas Melech, would be Shoelas mi Bas Kohen Gadol, and the Bas Kohen Gadol would be Shoelas mi Bas Hasagan, right? And they would just borrow wealthy families from other wealthy families because they didn't want to embarrass someone who otherwise didn't have. So that's a tremendous lesson in Midos right there, not to be mevayish as Misha'in, though people would not flaunt their own wealth, they would borrow from other people. So Bishlam Yom Kippurim, so says the Gemara, okay, I understand that that's what they would do on these 2 days, but it makes more sense. Yom Kippur, I understand. We know what the Simcha is in Yom Kippur. It's Yom Slicha Mechila. It's a day of Slicha and Mechila. Yom Shenitnu Baluchos Achronos. It's the day that the Luchos Achronos were given to us. And Elachamisha Asabav Mahi. But what's so special about Chamisha Asabav? Now it's interesting. The Gemara says, what's so happy about Yom Kippur? Slicha Mechila and the day of the Luchos Achronos. Now this is really all the Mishnah at the end of Tainis that tells us about the greatness of Yom Kippur and Tu B'Av, right? And in the Mishnah Tainis it says, Tzenu Ura'enu B'dos Tzion B'mel Shlomo B'atara She'itra Lo Imo B'yom Chasunoso B'yom Simchas Libo. And the Gemara there said, B'yom Chasunoso Zeh Matan Torah U'B'yom Simchas Libo Zeh Binyan Beis HaMikdash She'yivne B'meher V'yameinu. And Rashi explains, Matan Torah is Yom Kippur She'nitnu B'Luchos Achronos, and Yom Chasunoso Yom Simchas Libo is all referring to Yom Kippur. So apparently, Binyan Beis HaMikdash was one of the major reasons that these days were happy days. These days were associated with Binyan Beis HaMikdash. Yet our Gemara has to identify the source of the Simcha on Yom Kippur, and our Gemara says Luchos Achronos and Slicha Mechila. Nothing about Binyan Beis HaMikdash. So the Gvura Sari, Shagasari in the Sefer on the Gemara, and Gvura Sari is bothered by this kasha. Okay, so he suggests that maybe the point of the Mishnah is not to say that Simchas Libo is because the Beis HaMikdash was built on that day. He says, El Be'emes Tama Simcha Mishum Yom Chasunaso. The real source of the Simcha was the fact that we were given the Luchos. It's Yom Chasunaso. El She Yom Simchasum Lameinu Shakavana B'Yom Chasunaso Al Yom HaKippurim. From the fact that it says Yom Simchaso, we now know that the phrase Yom Chasunaso must be referring to Yom Kippur and not to Shavuos, because you already have another phrase that refers to Shavuos, where we're given the Dibros. So that's why it says Yom Simchas Libo, which is Yom Kippur, Shenivna Beis HaMikdash. We know that Yom Simchas Libo happens to refer to Yom Kippur, but the source of the Simcha is really the fact that the Luchos were given. This is a discussion. Some of the Rishonim, I think, try to derive the concept of Sheva Brachos Midaraisa. I think the Rosh Maseches Ksubos tries to derive the concept of Sheva Brachos Midaraisa from that phrase, Yom Chasunaso V'Yom Simchas Libo. They say, well, Yom Chasunaso, you see there's a Chiyuv of Simcha. So that's a concept of Sheva Brachos Midaraisa, that the concept of Sheva Brachos, maybe not for 7 days, but at least for one day, is Daraisa. Right, it's not only a Dindrabanan like most Rishonim assume, but the Chasam Sofer points out that Yom Chasunoso and Yom Simchas Libo, the Gemara actually darshans to refer to two separate days. They're not referring to the same day. Okay, but anyway, our Gemara is not focused on that. Our Gemara is focused on Tu B'Av. What's so happy about Tu B'Av? Our Gemara asks. So the Gemara is going to give five separate answers, five sources of joy on Tu B'Av. Number one, Amar Rav Yehuda Shmuel, Yom Shuhutru Shvatim Lavo Zabazet. It was the day the Shvatim were allowed to intermarry. They were allowed to marry each other again. Why were they not allowed to marry each other? So we've been learning in this parak that there was this Isser of marrying out of the Shevet because a girl is going to take her father's Yerusha that belongs in her Shevet and bring it to another Shevet. So says the Rashbam, Lavo Zabazet Shuhutru Asavas Nachla, Shapasak Oso Dar Shalbaya Aretz. That generation of Baya Aretz who was not allowed to remove the Nachla by marrying outside of the Shevet, now it was permitted.
V'hashtumi em nishtayru adayin b'nei adam shoyi bol sadar, akati b'israel kaimi, avu shar b'nei adam shoyi bol sadar mutarin. Now, if anyone would actually still be alive from that generation, so the Yisr would still be in place, but as soon as that generation, but other people who were not from that generation were now mutter. They were now allowed to marry outside of the Shevet. That was the great simcha that they were allowed to marry. And yesh mefarshim, yom shuhutu shvatim shayi betuba av kalu meisei midbar. Some say, no, it was the day that the meisei midbar finished and that generation was wiped out. And since it was the day the meisei midbar were finished and that generation was wiped out, that's why they were allowed to marry each other. But the Rashbam says that's totally incorrect, because the Yisr of Asavas Nachla had nothing to do with the generation of the Midbar. The Yisr of Asavas Nachla had to do with the generation of Ba'i Ha'aretz, of people who actually came into Eretz Yisrael. So he says his first pshat is certainly correct. Fraktamar Shah, so it's a great simcha. Now if I belong to a Shevet that didn't get as much land as I wanted to, all I have to do is have my son marry a girl who's an only child from another Shevet and will chap that chelek into my Shevet. Right? A great simcha for my Shevet. Isn't it a sad day for the Shevet that's losing, though? How's that a day of simcha? So the Marsha points out, I think it's Pasha Pshat, but the Marsha points out that the simcha has nothing to do with actual land. The simcha has to do with the shidduch crisis. That it was very, very difficult to find the shidduch if you were limited to only 1/12 of Klal Yisrael. You had to only go within your own Shevet for a shidduch. So that's what was a great simcha, that the girls were able to marry whoever they wanted. The Sefer Eitz Yosef says, let's say you had a girl whose father was from one Shevet and mother was from another Shevet, and she yarshins both her father and her mother. So who does she have to marry? So the Torah was makbid, she has to marry a guy who's her exact same story, who has the same story as her. That the father is from the Shevet, that his father is from the same Shevet as her father, his mother is from the Shevet of her mother, she's got to marry someone like that. That would have been extremely difficult. Can you imagine finding a shidduch like that? What a limited pool of possibilities, of potential shidduchim. So that's why it was a great simcha. The great simcha was that you didn't have to worry about this when dealing with shidduchim. There's enough to worry about when dealing with shidduchim. You didn't have to worry about this as well. That's the great simcha. Okay, my drosh, what did they darshan to let them know, to teach them that this iser was only for that generation and not for all times? So says Gemara, zeh hadavar, davar zeh lo yeinu, egel bedor zeh. They darshan zeh hadavar, like we said yesterday, that zeh hadavar teaches us that this iser is only knowing in this generation. Right, we said Zeh Adavar is not there to include it in the Gzer Shav of Zeh. It's there to teach me that it's Dafka and Isser in this generation. Unlike other places where it says Zeh Adavar, like by Shchut Echutz and by Afaras Nadarim, where it teaches me something else, this teaches me that it's only for that generation. So says that's one possible explanation of what was so joyous about that day. Another explanation, number two, and Rashbam points out that they're not necessarily arguing on each other. These are just different explanations. Each one is saying what they got from their Rebbe. Kol anachamurai, says Rashbam, lo pligi, ela mar gamer hami Rebbe, mar gamer hami Rebbe. Each one received a different tradition from his Rebbe as to what the great simcha was, but there's really no machlokas. Second opinion, Rabbi Bar Bechana, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, yom shuhutar shevet binyamin, lovo bekal. It was the day that Shevet Binyamin was again allowed to marry other tribes. They initially had made an iser at the end of Sefer Shoftim that no one should give his daughter over to a man from Shevet Binyamin to marry. My drosh, what did they darshan to teach that it would be okay? Unto Ba'av, mimenu velomi b'neinu. That no, you couldn't give your own daughter to Shevet Binyamin, but your sons could give their daughters over to Shevet Binyamin. Meaning it was only a one generation Isser. Why did they have such an Isser not to marry Shevet Binyamin? What did Binyamin do so terrible? So that's what we spoke about recently, the story of Pilagish Begiva. Right? That story of that wild story of Pilagish Begiva that, by the way, if you read the story of Pilagish Begiva, the parallels between the story of Pilagish Begiva and the story of Lot and what went on in Sodom are striking. You have guys coming, attacking the house, saying, we want the man, and interested in homosexual rape of this man, of some guest, and instead being offered a young girl and going and, right? So the parallels are extremely striking. But anyway, in the story of Pilagish Begiva, they took the girl and they killed her, whatever. they violated her till she died, and then she was left on the doorstep. Next day, guy goes out to get the paper, and he finds the girl there dead, and he gets all upset. But bottom line is, Binyamin didn't cooperate in handing over the perpetrators, and because of Binyamin's lack of cooperation, they made a decree, no one should marry into Binyamin. They thought that it was a terrible thing. Now, obviously they thought it was terrible midos. They thought Binyamin had some terrible character traits that you don't want to marry into. And that was their punishment, that no one should marry into Binyamin. So, but then they darshaned later on that it was only a one generational thing. That after that, the wounds started to heal with Sheva Binyamin. So much so, that when Klal Yisrael had to choose its first king, right? Who do you have? You have Shaul HaMelech. Shaul HaMelech is from Sheva Binyamin. So the wounds probably healed pretty quickly, right? That happened from the end of Sefer Shoftim, although Sefer Shoftim is not exactly chronological, but the end of Sefer Shoftim to the beginning of Sefer Shmuel. So you have the wounds obviously healed. Okay, says the Gemara of Vaitu, third possibility. Rav Dimi bar Yosef, Amar Rav Nachman, Yom Shekalu Bo Meisei Midbar. It was the day that the Meisei Midbar stopped dying. You know, every single year in the Midbar, a good number of people died because the decree was made that all those who were involved in the Chedem Meraglim who were there at that time had to die before they entered Eretz Yisrael. So they all died. Damamar ad shelo kol Meisei Midbar, because we know prior to the death of the Meisei Midbar, lo yadibur Moshe. The Dibur didn't come back to Moshe. Moshe Rabbeinu did not get to speak to the Ribbono Shalom in full force. He did speak to the Ribbono Shalom, just not with the greatest connection. As Rashbam says, that Pel Peh Kibitchila. It wasn't Pel Peh, it was like other Nevi'im, in a Mara of some sort, but it wasn't quite on the level of a standard Nevuas, Moshe Rabbeinu. When people stopped dying, and then right after that, the Dibur was back to Moshe Rabbeinu. But prior to the Meisei Midbar finishing dying, the Dibur was not with Moshe Rabbeinu. So Shpam quotes the famous Medrash. Right? What's the Medrash? Kol Erev Tisha B'Av Hayakaruz Yotzei Hakol Yatzu Lachbar Chafar V'Yishen Behen. Every Erev Tisha B'Av, everyone will go dig a grave, and everyone will go to sleep in that grave. U'B'Shachris Hakaruz Yotzei Badu Achayim Min HaMeisim. And then they would announce on the morning of Tisha B'Av, okay, everyone who's alive, get up. And everyone would get up except for those who were dead. And there were a little over 15,000 people that were dead every single year. And this went on for 40 years in the Midbar. And then Bishana Achrona, Asu Kain, they did this in the last year. But Gatsum Nimtsu Shleimim. And turned out every single person who went to sleep in the grave the night before actually got up the next morning. Amru Shematinu B'cheshbon. They said, oh, maybe it wasn't really Tisha B'Av. Maybe we made a mistake in the Cheshbon. So V'chein B'Yud B'Av, V'chein B'Yud Aleph, V'chein B'Yud Beis. And they kept on saying, maybe we made a mistake this day, the next day, the next day. Till they realized on Tes Vav, the moon was full. They realized this was no mistake. It's done. We're no longer dying. So that was a cause of great celebration that they weren't dying anymore. That's the Medrash that the Rashbam quotes. Tosfos disagrees with this pshat. Tosfos writes, Yom Shekol B'Mesu Midbar, B'Shon Achrona Nami Mesu. Tosfos says they certainly died the last year as well. It wasn't only the first, it wasn't that they skipped dying the last year. V'yadu Shekvar Kolsa Gzeru. The point was that once the last of them had died out, they knew that the Gzeru was finally over. They paid their debt. Ta'akadosh Baruch Hu. Ki kvar mesu kol b'nei chav. Anyone who was 20 years old at the time has now died. Ulfi shayu aveilim ad mitzas yom shel tezvav lo chazra dibur. Shein ashkin asheru lo mitol chatz lo mitol chatzvus. Ay, why? Why did they... wait till Tes Vav to celebrate? It was, after all, on Tisha B'Av that everyone finished dying. So they waited till Tes Vav to celebrate because that's when Shiva was over. They just had to wait till Shiva was over to celebrate. Interesting. Tells you, obviously, Shiva was already there. So Rambam writes that Moshe Rabbeinu was Mesakin Yisrael, Shiva Simei Avelus. Right? Even if you hold that Shiva is not the Oraisa, which many hold, Shiva is only the Rabbanan, the Yom Rishon. The Rambam writes Yom Rishon is the Oraisa if it's the Yom Isa and Yom Kvura. But Shiva is a very early Takana Drabanan. It's a Takanas Moshe Rabbeinu. So they were observing Shiva. So because they were observing Shiva, they couldn't celebrate yet. Kedashkan Gabi Yaakov, like we find by Yaakov, Shekolos and Yom Shenisabal Yosef, Lo Sharsa of Shechina, that as long as he was still being misabel on Yosef, he didn't have the Shechina with him. Kedam b'Shabbos. L'kach kol yimei avilatzu shel Yisrael l'chazer ha-dibur. And that's why the dibur didn't come back, the Shechina didn't come back in full force, so long as they were still being misabel. And once the dibur came back, the gzeira was over, Kadosh Baruch Hu was speaking to Moshe Rabbeinu, pel again. Oh, that was a great source of simcha, and that's why Tu B'Av became a happy day. Tosos then goes on to ask 5 or 6 questions on the Rashbam's Medrash. He does not like the Rashbam's Medrash at all. Namely, he says, if they already stopped dying over a year prior to that, why did it take the Dibur more than a year to come back? If the Gzeru was already, HaKadosh Baruch Hu knew the Gzeru was over. So if HaKadosh Baruch Hu already ended the Gzeru so much earlier, why would it take more than a year to come back? So the Tos says, but that's not such a difficult kasha to answer. Because that, you could say, the Dibur coming back is not whether the death is over, it's whether the Jewish people realize that it's over. So therefore there's a sense of atzvus in the Jewish people, so long as they didn't realize it was over. So it's also troubled by the numbers. Did they or didn't they die? Meaning, what, we just got a pass on the last group of people? So there were 15,000 people who were decreed that they were supposed to die, they were at the age of 20, and they ended up not dying? So what I thought only Kalev and Yehoshua survived. And there were really 15,000 other people that survived? That's what really bothers Tosfos. So Tosfos has a fascinating suggestion. He says, maybe it was really the decree was originally made on anyone who was 20 years old, and they thought that meant 20 years old in one day. But really it had to be 20 years old in 1 month. And that's how the decree was changed, that anyone who was within that window, it doesn't really count as fully being 20 years old yet, because they were only 1 day into the 20 years, and not 1 month into the 20 years, something like that, and that's why they weren't included in the decree. So the decree was actually against fewer people than they originally thought it was supposed to be against. And maybe that was the great simcha. Okay, something like that. But that's the major machlokas, Tosfos and the Rashbam. Says the Gemara Vayter, 4th possible great source of simcha on Tu B'Av, Ula Amar Yom Shabitul Ba'oshea Ben Allah Pardesos Shahoshiv Yeravam Aladrachim Shoyal Yisrael Regel. Yeravam didn't want people to be Al Regel because he wanted people. He didn't want Yerushalayim to be the capital because any Melech Yisrael didn't want the Malchut Beis David to be the ones who were the center of the Jewish people, because obviously that would lead to loyalty to the other melech once there was a split in the malchus. So Yeravam set up, unbelievably, set up Egle HaZahav for people to worship in his own in his own areas, so that people wouldn't go. And he made decrees that they should not be able to regel to go up to Yerushalayim, and he set up checkpoints to make sure the guards, that people shouldn't go up to Yerushalayim. So Hoshea came and was mevatel those checkpoints. And that was a great simcha, that people were free to go to be Olah L'Regel. Number 5, Rav Masa Amar Yom Shenitnu Arugei Beitar L'Kvura. It was the day that the Arugei Beitar were given over to allow to be buried. Damar Rav Masna, Osa Yom Shenitnu Arugei Beitar L'Kvura Tiknu B'Yavna Atov Ametiv. The day that the Arugei Beitar were allowed to be buried, so they were misakin in Yavna, the bracha in benching of Atova Ametiv. As Rashbam points out, in benching only the first 3 brachas are Doraisa, are actually derived from the Pasuk. Atova Ametiv is not Doraisa, that was instituted as a result of Arugei Beitar. Hatov Shlo Srichu, Hatov that the bodies didn't rot, Vametiv Shenitnu L'Kvura, and Ametiv that they were allowed to be buried. I mentioned before there were 5, there are actually 6 explanations of why it's such a happy day. So by the way, the Gvura Sari asks, it says in the Medrash that Harugei Beitar were nitnu l'kvura only after 52 years after the Chorban HaBayis. So the Gvura Sari points out, wait a second, we just said that what happened on Tu B'Av? Everyone borrowed white clothing. Who borrowed from who? The Bas Kohen Gadol borrowed, the Bas Melech borrowed from the Bas Kohen Gadol, the Bas Kohen Gadol from the Bas Sagan from the Bas Mashroch Melchama. But if Arugei Beitar only nitnu l'kvura 52 years after the Chorban HaBayis, there was no Bas Kohen Gadol, there was no Bas Sagan, there was no Bas Mashuach Melchama. So what are we talking about? So he says, yeah, you have to say that that part of the story is only going on the Yom Kippur side. Yom Kippur was already a day of celebration when the Beis HaMikdash was around. According to this Shita, Yom Kippur only, the Tu B'Av only became a day of celebration much later on, 52 years after the Chorban HaBayis. Okay, 6th possibility of what's so great about Tu B'Av. Rabba v'Rav Yosef Damri Tarvayu Yom Shaposkim Bo Milichros Eitzim L'Maracha. It was the day that they were no longer had to cut wood to use for the maracha, to use on the Mizbeach. Tanya Reb Lezer Gadol Omer, Kimin Shegiach Hamishas Bav, Tashash Kol Chashal Chama, because on the 15th day of Av, when the 15th day of Av came every year, the sun wouldn't be quite as strong as it was in the right in the middle of the summer. V'loyu Karsin Eitzim La'aracha. Once the sun wasn't as strong, they couldn't chop that wood to use on the Mizbeach anymore. Why not? Because if the wood was moist, it was more likely to be wormy, and you can't bring wormy wood onto the Mizbeach. It also wouldn't burn as well. You need good dry wood that to burn properly. You have moist wood, the smoke is going to be too much, it's not going to be proper for the Mizbeach. So they finished cutting the wood, dafka by Tu B'Av. They would make sure to get the job done by Tu B'Av. That was their deadline. Rav Elchanan points out, it's unusual that we assume the sun gets weak on a day on the lunar calendar. But our calendar isn't based on the sun, it's based on the moon. So he says, yeah, either some Achronim say, oh, a miracle, right? That the sun got weak on the day of the lunar calendar. But more likely, it's an approximation. That approximately on Tu B'Av, we do set up our calendar to even out with the solar calendar every now and then, right, pretty much. So that's around the time that the sun got weak. But the Rashbam points out, very important over here. Rashbam says, Osa yom shepasku hayu smechim l'fi sheba'osu yom hayu meshlim in mitzvah gedol kazos. That day that they finished cutting the wood, it was a great simcha. Why? Because they finished doing this great mitzvah. That's what the Yamshel Shlomo points out. The Marshal points out in Yamshel Shlomo, in Baba Kama, Perek Zayin, Simen Mem Vav, he says, this is the makar for making a su'udas mitzvah and a siyum maseches. That when a person finishes a sefer, we make a siyum. Why? Because it's you make a simcha when you finish doing a mitzvah. And it's derived as well from Shlomo HaMelech, from when he finishes building the Beis HaMikdash, he makes a great celebration, a great party, and that's where Salvechik pointed out, that the great simcha of the Siyum is really derived from Shlomo HaMelech. Look at what the celebration was. The celebration was that he finished building the Beis HaMikdash, but it's not so much what he had done, it's that now look what he's going to be able to do. It's that he's going to be able to do all the avodah in the Beis HaMikdash, all those mitzvos that they're going to be able to do in the Beis HaMikdash. So it's really a preparation. It's that when you finish, when they karsu eitzim l'maracha, what's the point? The point isn't just to have the wood, it's then to be able to use the wood. That's the gadlus of the simcha. And he says that's megala on the simcha v'siyum. The simcha v'siyum is not what we have done, it's that now, hadron alach, when we go back to that mesechta, we're going to be able to understand it that much better, we're going to be able to know it that much more, because we have this firm basis and firm background in that mesechta. That's the great simcha. Anyway, it says in Gemara Vayter, Amar Rav Menachem, and that's why Rav Salvechik said his grandfather always was makbid, he didn't want Chasen Torah, he wanted Chasen Bereishis. He thought that was a greater simcha, to be able to start again. That was the ultimate simcha. Amar Rav Menachem, Vakari Le Yom Tavar Magal, they called that the day that they broke the axes, because they didn't need their axes anymore, they finished cutting. Mikan Ve'elach to Mosef Yosef, Sheina Mosef Yosef. From then on, someone who would learn extra at night, so it was great, he would get it would be Mosef, and someone who would not be Mosef would Yosef. My Yosef, what does that mean? Tan Rav Yosef Tikbrei Ime, it means he would die young. That if a person would use that extra time that he had now at night to be able to learn more Torah, so he would have longer days, he would live longer, and if he didn't, then he would die young, because he wasn't using his time well. Tan Rabbanan, Shiva Kaflu Eskala Olam Kulo. There were seven people that overlap in their lifespans from the beginning of creation until now. That from the beginning of creation until now, you can trace seven people that overlapped with each other, and literally it's only 7 degrees of separation between now and the beginning of creation. Misushalach ra Adam. Right, Adam was the first man. Misushalach saw Adam. Shem ra Misushalach. Shem saw Misushalach. Yaakov ra Shem. Yaakov saw Shem. Amram ra as Yaakov. Amram saw Yaakov. Rashbam points out it doesn't say that anywhere, but it's misvara based on how the years work out. We're not going to get into it now. Achia Shiloni ra as Amram. Achia Shiloni saw Amram. Elio ra as Achia Shiloni. Vadayin kayem. And Elio and Avi never died. So seven people throughout all of human history. Vachia Shiloni ra as Amram. Ask the Gemara, is that true? Achia Shiloni saw Amram. Vaksiv. The pasuk says, "V'lo nosa mehem ish ki im Kalev ben Yefuna v'Yeshua ben Nun." I thought no one survived the midbar except for Kalev and Yeshua. Some Ravim Nuna lo nigzer gezera al shifto shalevi. No, the whole gezera was never made against Levi's shevet. Tchsiv ba midbar zay yiplu pikurechem v'chol pikudechem l'chol nesparchem mi ben esrim shana v'mayla. Mi shepikudav mi ben esrim yatzos shifto shalevi shepikudav mi ben shloshim. That it tells you that someone who was counted from the age of 20 years old, that's who had the gezerah to die in the midbar, as opposed to Shevet Levi, that they were counted to be ben shloshim, Ben Shloshim doesn't mean Ben Shloshim Shana. It means me Ben Shloshim Yom. Right? Sheva Levi was counted from when they were 30 days old. When we shar Shvatim lo ayil, ask the Gemara, did people from other Shvatim not get into Eretz Yisrael? Vatanya, we have a brisa, Yotir Ben Menashe, Machir Ben Menashe, Noldu Bimei Yaakov, V'lo Mesu Atche Nichnu Yisrael La'aretz. They were born in the days of Yaakov Vinu, and they didn't die until the Jews entered Eretz Yisrael. Shnem Rav Yehuka Mehem Anche Ha'ai, Kishloshim Shisha Ish, because the Pasuk says that the people of Ai killed 36 people. Vatanya Shloshim Shisha Ish Mamish, Div Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says, yeah, it means literally 36 people, but Amar Lo Rabbi Nechami B'chinamar Shloshim Shisha V'lo Nemar Ela Ki Shloshim Shisha. It doesn't say 36 people died, it said something like 36 people died. Ela Zeh Yari Ben Menashe Shakel Grub Shal Sanhedrin. So that's referring to Yari Ben Menashe, who is as great as the majority of the Sanhedrin. So you see, Yari Ben Menashe only died in the Battle of Ai. So he survived the entire generation of the Midbar. So how can you say that he survived? I thought the Gzera was against everybody who wasn't from Shevet Levi. So says Gemara, Elam Rav Acha Bar Yaakov, L'nigzer Gzera Lo Al Pachos Mi Ben Eshrim, V'lo Al Yesem Mi Ben Shishim. The Gzera was not made against anyone under 20 or over 60. Lo Al Pachos Mi Ben Eshrim, D'chsim Ben Eshrim Shana V'mala, V'lo Al Yesem Ben Shishim, and nor anyone over the age of 60. Gamar Umala Mala Umala Me Erechin. We derive it from Erechin. Mala Alan Yesem Ben Shishim Kepachos Mi Ben Chav. Just like by the parsha of Erechin, someone over 60 is the same as someone under 20. Afkan, so too over here by the Mesa Midbar, Yesrim, Ben Shishim, Kapachos, Ben Esrim. Someone over the age of 60 is like someone under the age of 20. So if someone was over 60 years old, it's possible that they did survive through the Midbar and they made it into Eretz Yisrael.